Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you wherever you may be, you and yours. It is our prayer that everything is going well with you. And if it's not, if perhaps this day started off a little rough or bad for you, it is our prayer to turn that around for you. In other words, we want to turn that frown into a smile and put joy back into your heart. The joy that the Lord gives, the world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away. Hold on to your joy. Don't allow the world to steal it. Amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We must choose to be glad and rejoice in it. Well, once again, God bless each of you. Good evening, wherever you may be. We want to say hello to the 901. We want to say hello to the 216 and 440 area code. God bless all of you on this evening. It is a blessing to be with you one more time. We're going to do a Black History Spotlight here, and then we're going to have prayer. So get your prayer requests ready. Those of you that would like to vocally express your prayer requests, but we're going to pray for us generally. Amen. And so the Black History Moment today, and God bless all of you. This is Black History Month, and we're celebrating the achievements done by black Americans, African Americans, and just black folks in general, wherever you may be. Amen. So we want to celebrate the black and brown community for their achievement in the world. One special achievement is done by the man named Daniel Hale Williams. Daniel Hale Williams. Daniel Hale Williams was an African-American surgeon who founded Provident Hospital in 1891. That's right, in 1891. It was the first non-segregated hospital in the United States. Provident Hospital also had associated nursing school for African Americans. Daniel Hale Williams was born January 18 in 1856 in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. He died August 4th, 1931. His death has a little tragic story behind it because he was the first man that was able to perform the first open heart surgery. That's right, he was the first man that performed open heart surgery. It was his skills and technique that made way to the practices that deal with heart surgery today. Came from humble beginnings. It is said that his father was a simple barber. And so his family had to be divided at some point, and he had to live with relatives, and he went through a trial in his life, but that did not stop him. He worked his way into medical school where he advanced and excelled. Later on, his skills got him to the point where he was able to be the cardiologist that he were in his day, leading the field and making history. You don't know where you may start, but that's the thing about destiny. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Amen? Well, God bless you. I have Missionary Ken, and I thank Brother Six, or is that Sister Nikhil? I'm not sure. Well, God bless you all this evening. Good evening, good evening. Do you have any prayer requests this evening before we jump into prayer?
Well, certainly I do have myself and, of course, Sister Ruth, Sister Emily, Sister Lila, our military personnel, our first responders, police forces, and our government.
Amen. Definitely want to keep our first responders lifted up, a very challenging job in its own right. Because when you arrive to the scene, whether it be dangerous or not, your job is to preserve life. And we're definitely praying for them who have lives and well-being of other people in their hands. And so we want to pray for them, our first responders, not only our firefighters, our local police men and women, but also our armed forces, our National Guard, those that are assigned to keep the safety of our country, to keep us safe. We heard here there was something that happened where some type of, I don't know whether it was a weather balloon or something that happened where it seems like we have some foreigners looking in over our country to see what's going on. And so we never know what type of security measures that need to take place to keep us here in the United States safe. Amen. And we know we're in other countries as well. And your local government have the responsibility of trying to protect its borders from those that will bring harm to its citizens. And so we definitely want to pray that fast of peace amongst our land. You never know the evil desires of those that think they can do it better than somebody else. Amen. So we want to definitely keep them in prayer. So thank you, Missionary Ken. Do we have, and definitely we're praying for our families as a whole, those that are dealing with health challenges and having to overcome certain adversities, certain financial reverses, and different challenges in life that challenge them on a daily basis. And so we want to continue to pray their steadfastness and trusting in God to provide. Amen. Any other prayer requests? Amen. Now, again, we're praying also for my wife's family. Brother, her, we will be in Jacksonville this weekend to funeralize her eldest brother, Levi Jordan Jr., or the second. And we want to keep his family lifted up because he has two children that he is leaving behind, as well as other family members, cousins, and so on. And so we want to continue to keep the family lifted up in prayer. Amen. I heard someone.
Amen.
Come on.
My apologies. I was talking earlier and didn't realize I was on mute. But I was saying
right,
good evening to you and to First Lady and Miss Mary Ken, Sister Ruth. Excuse me, Six Eyes. I'm not sure if anybody else is on. Sister Emily, Sister Lila, and the whole team. So good evening again. I'm looking forward to Motivational Monday. And as you were saying, praying for my mother, praying for my family, and just being thankful that have another day that we can spread God's love and God's word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're definitely doing our best to continue the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as believers, we are charged to do just that assignment. For each of us, that may mean a numeral of different things, but it is for the same goal, and that is redemption. It is our job to minister redemption to the whole world. That's what's going to make the real difference. No matter how many deeds that we do in this world, we can feed the poor. We can clothe the naked. We can house the sick. We can govern the ungoverned. We can do so many things, deeds that are called good. But if we are not redeeming souls, lost souls, for the kingdom of God, then all of our deeds are wasted to the great design, or for the great design, which is the redemption of mankind. Jesus Christ did the work. The price is already paid. It's now our job to let others know that it is available for them on the base foundation of faith. It sounds so easy, but as easy as it sounds, so many don't get it. So many don't believe. And so it is our assignment in the world to demonstrate God's love in our lifestyle, in our speech, in our teaching, in our overall love one to another. So let's go God in prayer. Amen. And as we go to God in prayer, I often lead with what is called the Lord's Prayer. And it in itself is really just a pamphlet of how to petition God on the throne. And so we go with that foundation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is also being done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts and our trespasses, if we forgive those our debtors and trespassers. Lead us not into temptation, but Father, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, Father, the power and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, as we pray for mankind, pray for one another, God, we ask for your divine wisdom and understanding of our divine purpose. There's a plan for us that you have, for you have declared in Scripture that you know your thoughts towards us, that they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. So, Father, I pray for our expectation that we begin to look for the things that you have purpose for us in our lives. Help us to see that which you have placed before us. Help us to understand our assignment. Help us to be strength for one another. You said in your word that the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Well, Father, we've been weak long enough. It's our time to be strong so that we can help someone else who have been weakened or who may be weak. Help us, Lord God, not to look down upon them other than to lift them up to where they need to be in you. And God, as you do these things, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for choosing to use us as vessels to minister your word of encouragement, of hope, of perseverance. Thank you for using us to demonstrate your love in the earth. Now, Lord, everything that we do, we pray that you will be glorified in our deeds. We pray that you get the glory for the deeds that we do in the flesh in this earth. We pray, Lord God, that we are being used by you and not the enemy, that we are providing strength in unity and not weakness in division. And God, as you do all of these things in us and through us, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for platforms like this that we're standing on together, this Blog Talk program through the Six Eyes Radio Network. We thank you, Lord God, for this platform to minister, to encourage, to build, and to develop lightly. But we thank you greatly. that you have chosen to use us to minister truth. It is these things that we give you thanks, that we give you glory, that we give you honor and praise, all in the majesty name of Jesus Christ. We pray and say thank you. Amen and amen. God bless another caller coming in from 415. Amen. Amen. We just finished up prayer, but since you just came in, I see your hand up. Did you want to also submit a prayer request before we move forward?
Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor Bonnie. This is Nicole from California, and Brother Six is here too, and just grateful to be here. Apologize for arriving a little later than typical, and just your prayer covers it all on my behalf. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Your homework assignment is to look up the information concerning Daniel Hale Williams. Daniel Hale Williams. And to see what contribution he gave to society. Amen. That's your homework assignment.
Amen.
Because we already covered it. We already had covered it. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, it's great to be with all of you. I called it before the game. I said that if the Eagles could not run away before the halftime, that Kansas City was going to win by three. I sent that shout out to the Men's Fellowship Program that I have, that I'm the coordinator over. And when the game was over and they won by three, just like I said, I called it before the game started. Amen. So to all of our football enthusiasts, I know that said, and no, I didn't call Charles and give him the play-by-play of halftime. I will maybe at a later time discuss that. I said now, out of all the female performances that have come and performed on the Super Bowl halftime, I'm glad to see that she was the most clothed female performance.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So she was well covered.
Yes.
And she performed her performance. We give them credit to the performance. So many people that she had on, literally you can pretty much say the whole football field and the air above the field was covered with people performing, and they was in sync. I mean, it's probably one of the largest. I mean, think of Battle of the Bands, how a band group have to perform and be in certain sync and move in syncrasy. Without them having any instrument, they did a good job in just being in sync, you know, just the whole nine yards. So it was tasteful. Amen. So it was a good halftime, and the commercials wasn't as severe as some of the ones in history, but they were pretty good too. I was glad to see that one Christian group had a commercial during the Super Bowl witnessing Jesus Christ. That blessed me. Because I used to say years ago, I used to say this years ago, probably about 15 years ago, I used to say all the time, I said, it would be nice. I know we have a lot of Christian programming. I say, but the way our society is built up in commercialism, what we really need to do is just have more ministries that are able to do that, have just more commercials concerning the love of Christ. That way we'll be morning, noon, and night just promoting the love of Christ. And so it blessed me to see that one group did tape, and we know that if you got a commercial during the Super Bowl, those commercials is like $1 million for 30 seconds. So for them to put that kind, and it may be more now, but for them to put value, put their finances in just witnessing Christ on what is one of the biggest stages across the world is the American Super Bowl. It's only second to probably world soccer, which is called football also. that was just a wild moment for me. So I was glad to see that.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you know, the wild moment for me was Rihanna and all that red. I mean, sunny, beautiful.
Yes, she definitely had a lot of red on that. She was in her Valentine's colors, and all the people was in white, and she was in red.
Yeah, and that took me back to, getting the Valentine's Day cards, and Papa always, had me together, school, and it was a great time. So just with her and all that red, I enjoyed it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave that right there. I'm gonna leave that right where it is. I'm not gonna press that button. That's a button. I'm gonna leave the comedy to Ken Wolfgang, and so I'm gonna leave that button alone.
Amen.
But I definitely have something to say, but we're going to refrain. We're going to exercise some restraint.
Amen.
I want to share a topic with you all today. And notice I left your mics on, so if you got any noise in your background, just mute your line, please. I'm going to leave your mics on because I may ask questions concerning this. And I like a talk back crowd, especially in things what I consider Bible studies, life lessons, applications. We all have different experiences because we all have different walks of life. We all have different upbringing. I can't imagine what it is to be born with a silver spoon in my mouth because I wasn't born on that side of the track. So I don't know what it is to live in a house that is called a mansion. I don't know what it is to receive a brand new car for my birthday from my parents for my 16th birthday. I don't know what that life entails. And usually when we think about those that are well-with-all, those that have money, I don't know what it is to go to private school and you know, we're all name brand this, that, and the other, top of this and top of that. I don't know that lifestyle. So I didn't know that lifestyle. I had things, yes. I was fortunate to work through high school, so I was able to buy myself jewelry, nice clothes, and stuff like that. And so I had things, amen, but I had to work for them, amen. So I don't know what it is to live on somebody else's shoulders. At least I thought. I used to think like that, Missionary Ken. I used to think, okay, we came up from humble beginnings. Some will say impoverished like that. But growing up, I didn't think we were poor. I didn't even know the word. I just thought that was just where it is. But you know something else I found out? As I continue to grow and develop, you know, to me, I thought that everybody knew who God was. So I found out that everybody didn't. You know, to me, I thought everybody knew the power of prayer. So I found out everybody didn't. You know, I can remember being sick and mama praying for me. I can remember the church, the little humble church, Huntedale, with my mom, the pastor, one of the deacons, and one of the other ladies getting around me praying and rebuking asthma out of my life and God healing me. Thank you, God. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you. I thought that was something that was common. So I can imagine those that have money thinking that their environment is common until you realize it's not, because of the people you come into contact with. So now in my 50s, and I look back over my life, and I realize that yes, Donald Trump built his life with a loan of, what, $10 million, just a small loan, he said, from his father, of $10 million, just a small loan. That was his statement, a small loan only. I realized that I built my life on my mama's prayers. Yeah. Mama would make sure before we went to bed at night that we honored God by getting down on our knees and not just reciting what we call the Lord's Prayer, telling the Lord thank you and asking God to continue to bless our family. So now I realize that I was more privileged than those that had everything tangible that they wanted, but they didn't have God. They didn't have a church family that prayed with them. They didn't have a church family that did things together. Yes, they went on trips. Yes, they did things. But I realized growing up in church was the wealthiest place to grow from. Wow. We call this perspective. That's what it is, perspective. Because It's easy to look at other lives through our dingy looking glass. It's easy. It's easy to think that someone else has it better because you're focusing on what you think you need or what you feel that you don't have person. And so oftentimes we position ourselves in prayer with God as if we are lacking what we need to survive at that moment. And I'm saying today, there's a story about an old couple that hired a young man to come and clean the windows around the house. And the old gentleman, he told the young fellow, he said, yeah, I need you to clean all the windows upstairs and downstairs and make sure you get the ones around the sink and see things going and make sure you clean the one here by the bedroom and definitely the one over the front door. And the young man went and he cleaned all the windows throughout the house and around the house. He cleaned the windows around the doors. About an hour or two later, the older gentleman of the house came downstairs from his nap, and he asked his wife, was the young fella done? And she said, yes, it's done. And he looked out the front door, and he shook his head, and he went to the kitchen, and he looked out the window in his kitchen, and he called the young man by name, and he said, come here. I asked you to clean the doors, the windows on the door in the front, and I asked you to clean the windows over the kitchen. I'd like to look out the window. He said, these windows are not clean. I need you to clean them again. And the young man said, I did clean them. He said, well, they're still dirty. Clean them again. And so the young man, not willing to argue with the older gentleman out of respect, he went and washed the windows again. And he cleaned them and dried them, and he was satisfied with his work. And he went to the older gentleman. He said, all right, Mr. Johnson, I'm done. I redid the windows as you asked. Mr. Johnson got up. He hollered out to his wife. He said, I hope he did it right this time. And he went to the front door, and he stomped his foot and shook his head. And he went to the kitchen where his wife was, and he stomped his foot and he shook his head. And he said to his wife, we're going to have to get somebody else that can do this job. These windows are not clean. And she looked over at him and she said, honey, come here. He said, huh? She said, come here. And she took the glasses off of his face. And she cleaned the glasses and put them back on his face. And she said, look again. And he said, oh, they do look good out there. Sometimes when we're looking at the world through the lenses of our own face, we got to make sure that the lens that we're looking through is clean. Otherwise, we'll see the world a dirty or dingy or unclear place than what it really is. And so the lesson for us to take from Mr. Johnson is before we begin to tell others that they're not doing the job that they was hired to do, let's make sure we understand what we're looking through in that judgment. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
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 So tonight I want to talk about don't run from your destiny. I hope somebody can get this lesson today. And I guess probably only Missionary Ken will kind of gravitate what story that I'm going to gravitate to in sharing this thought of not running from your destiny. And very few people, as we read the Bible, that is recorded actually running away from their destiny. Amen, somebody. Running away from destiny.
And it's now, a whale of a tale.
Sir, yes, sir, you're right there on it. You're right there on it. I knew you would know it. We're going to walk through it today as we look at this story about not running. Don't run from your destiny. There's so much importance in not running from the call of God in your life. I don't want to really get ahead of myself, but running from the call of God in your life is not just dangerous for you, but it's dangerous for others in your area. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, we never know how much trouble comes from just not being who we're supposed to be. And it doesn't matter why we made the decision not to do. When we make the conscious decision not to do that which we know to do, so much harm can come to us. Now, I'm a Marvel fan. That I am. I love Marvel and I love DC. I am a genuine fan. One of
you need to unmute yourself.
I'm mute.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things. But they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Amen and amen. We are the church. Amen.
Is it that phone of yours again, Pastor Bonnet? We're going to have another battle of the phones here?
Listen, we're going to have a battle of the network because that was a network problem. My network problem. Amen. So it wasn't the phone. It was the network. So nevertheless, amen. Amen. We are back. And thank God I'm right here at the board. I was able to continue. Amen. Once again, our topic is don't run from your destiny. Do not run from your destiny. A destiny is important because it tells us who we are, whose we are, and it defines for us our purpose. And in life, sometimes things can happen a certain way and unfold for us till we think that we need to run from our destiny. And we cannot do that. Running from our destiny can only bring injury or insult or the lack of provision for others. The story we want to use to illustrate this for us is one given to us in the Bible by Jonah. Now, prior before my untimely intervention there, I was about to share my Marvel take on why it's important to not run from your destiny. And it was a simple story for those of you that are Marvel fans. If you know the origin story of Spider-Man, you know that Spider-Man's uncle would not have died had he not been upset to the point that he refused to help someone because they didn't do right by him. And it was that action, and I'm not going to do right for you because you didn't do right for me, that caused the death of who was bringing him up, raising him as a son, because his mother and father was already deceased. And so his uncle, who was a father to him, a role model to him, died, lost his life because of the one person he did not stop, end up taking or causing the life of his uncle. So important for us in life not to run from our destiny, not to delay the calling of God for our lives. When you understand who you are and whose you are, It's your obligation at that point to begin to fulfill purpose. I want to start with the story of Jonah, chapter 1, and I'm going to read in the King James for you, verses 2 and 3. 2 and 3 says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Verse 3, "But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish, presence of the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Father, bless this truth as we journey together in understanding. Joppa was a place that had strayed away from the teachings of, not Joppa, excuse me, Nineveh was a place that had strayed away from the teachings of God. It was to the point where they began to do things that was unpleasing to God, that God was not satisfied with. And the old saying says, "How shall they hear without a, and how shall he preach except he be sent?" God sent them something called a preacher in the name of Jonah. Jonah had the assignment. His assignment was to go and cry to the city. This cry was not one necessarily of go and condemn the city, but he said go and cry out to the city. If you ever cried out to someone, usually it meant you had to plead with them. You had to appeal to them. You had to be persuasive to them. You had to communicate in a way that they would listen to what you are saying. Many of us have an assignment of God to cry out to our family members, cry out to our associates, our friends. But many times we make the conscious decision to go in the opposite direction of what we knew in our heart, that we knew in our mind to do. Now, don't feel bad. At some point, we all have been guilty of this action. So this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of correction. This is a message of woe. The woe always comes before the destruction. The woe always comes before trouble hits. So his cry was one of telling the people, "Woe! You all are strayed away. You are not doing what it is that you know to do. And God is not pleased with your actions." So this was the assignment that Brother Jonah had. he had the charts to go and cry, whoa. We'll move down to verse 5, and we'll see that not only did he go and pay to go away from God, Jonah forgot who God really is. God is omnipresent. That means he's here, he's there, he's everywhere at the same time. Matter of fact, a representation of God's power will be our atmosphere. I don't care where you at in the planet, the atmosphere is here, there, and everywhere at the same time so that we can breathe. So how can I run from oxygen? And Jonah, for whatever reason, made a conscious decision to run from the air. The Bible said he ran from the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B. That is the all-sufficient one, all-knowing, all-seeing. Where is there a place for you and I to hide from the presence of God? Let's say it all together, nowhere. We cannot hide from the presence of God.
Amen.
Because as big as the earth is,
amen,
he still sits up high and he looks down low. The children sung the song, he got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole. So if we're in the hand of Almighty God, how can we hide in the marble that sits in the palm of his hand? We cannot. But for whatever reason, Jonah decided to do that. And I said verse 5, but we'll read verse 4 as well. It said, but the Lord sent out a great. Who sent it out? The Lord. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea. That's a storm, y'all. So that the ship was likely to be broken. Most ships are developed to handle or weather a storm. But this tempest was threatening to tear the ship apart. When you and I run in the opposite direction of our godly purpose, and we see destruction all around us, it may be a good question to ask yourself, like the boy from Family Matters, then I ain't do right. We might need to ask ourselves, am I the call of this? But it's hard to see destruction when you went into a hiding place, because the Bible later says that Jonah went down into the ship. In other words, he was hiding. So not only did he go in the opposite direction, but he called himself getting up under a rock. He went under the ship, inside the ship, And so while the people on the top trying to keep the ship afloat, trying to sail and govern themselves on this temporary sea, he down there sleeping. Are we, my brothers and sisters, are we sleeping at the helm? Are we sleeping on the job? Are we missing what we should be doing because we have chosen to go to sleep when God said for us it was time to work? Just some questions that we must ask ourselves. Let us read on. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid. That means the men that were sailing, they were afraid and cried every man to his little G-O-D. When they started praying to everything that they knew that they can call a God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. In other words, that ship was about to make some money. They was in the business of transporting stuff. So now the business is failing. Thing I say, and I take this from the story of Joseph, that when we honor God, whatever job that we do is supposed to prosper because of our presence there, especially those of us that are honoring God. When we honor God the way God wants us to do, we are a bonus. We are plus to anybody, any company that we work for. It should not be said of any believer that's working on a job that their company is not prospering at your presence. That means you're on that job to help that job to succeed. And when you can no longer see yourself helping them to succeed, you need to leave. Find different employment. That means if you can't help it and your help is hurting, you need to leave. Don't sit on that job talking about what they ain't and what they don't and what they... No. That is not the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't even get on the boat with Peter and saw that they had been fishing all night long. They done gave up. Jesus said, listen, I'm here now on the scene, so throw your net on the other side. And they obeyed and threw a net instead of the net. But it was still so much increase. So when we attach ourselves to other programs, the vision that God gave you is not one of division, but it is one of accomplishment to help them succeed. It is jealousy and envy and strife that will make us connect to something and hate or despise or work against leadership. That is not the duty of a believer. Back to my lesson. The Bible says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. That means the ship was rocking and tossing, shaking. Things are being broken. men are hollering, calling out to this God and that God, and yet you're asleep. Truly, not only did you run from the duties, but now you are even neglecting your obligation in the space that you're currently in. Sometimes we focus on him running away from Nineveh. But because he was in the ship, he had even neglected his obligation as being part of the ship because he was asleep. Sometimes that's the trap of the devil for the believer. The devil knows that he can't make you renounce God. But if he can make you run away from your assignment, then he knows he can keep you from doing what God had called you to do, which was caused the effect, the positive effect in the lives of many. So Jonah was asleep in the ship. We move down to verse 9. Well, I'll read 8. Then said they unto him. Now, what happened is they cast lots to try to find out. They said that this storm is so unusual, somebody to upset at God. Our God won't answer us. Let's find out who that made God mad. And even though he was asleep, hiding away, what they did pointed him out. And when it pointed him out, verse 8 said, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for who caused this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people are thou? It's sad. I told you the Bible said that earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. People are looking for genuine children of the Most High God. And in times of crises, we should not be the ones that are asleep. We should not be the ones talking doubt and fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Verse 9, Jonah said, and he said to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. So now he's speaking with clarity and understanding. He answers the question. So for many of us, there's no doubt about what God has put on the inside of us. We cannot allow others to dictate to us God's calling in our lives. Because when we abandon what God has called us to do and who God has called us, still held accountable because we know. And let me give you this scripture. To him that knoweth to do it right and choose to do wrong, to him it is sin. So it is written in the word of God. There's no disputing it. For the saving of time. And so after the men heard that, they still did their due diligence. Say, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was temperous against them. I don't care who you join up with. When you do it in disobedience to God's will, no matter how much they fight, no matter how much they try, no matter how skilled they are, it will not prosper. And that's why we can't run from our destiny. Because running from our destiny can cause the lives of others not to prosper. It can bring a storm, unusual storm, in the lives of those that's in our area. Wow. Wow. Brother Preacher, is that true? How can that be true? Well, let me fortify this statement. Another already well-known scripture. If my people who are called by my name. What did he say earlier at verse number 9? He said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who has made the sea and dry land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, conjunction, and seek my faith, that's my wisdom, my understanding, my approval, and turn from their wicked ways. What is wicked ways? Anything opposite of what God has said for you to do. When the 12 spies were sent out to view the land, 2 came back and said, we well able. 10 came back and said, we can't. And the Bible said they brought back an evil report. Wicked. But they was told that that was their inheritance. They were told that they can conquer that land. And they spoke against. So that's why we can't even speak against the destiny that God has for us. Because speaking against the destiny that God has for us can cause us to be in a place that folks took us 40 days. And it took them 40 years. How would you feel to know that what you've been fighting to accomplish all of these years in your life, you could have done them in a matter of days versus years if you would just fully obey God from the beginning? That's food for thought. When you know who you are and whose you are, then you must obey God's word for your life. Running or delaying your destiny can cause others to be in harm's way. Wow. Verse 13 said, nevertheless, they rode hard. But no matter how hard they was trying, still against them, because they was carrying someone away from their purpose. That says two things. One, what I already just said, but it says something else, and this is very important. Hear me real well. It says that can't nobody stop you, neither. It says that no matter how hard somebody trying to hinder you from being who God wants you to be, they don't have the power to do it. Weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It may be a weapon that is formed. It may be carried out, but the intended desire of that weapon will not prosper over you who are called to do something in the name of the Lord. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. Let's read. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. Jonah had previously told them when they asked, he said, what shall we do? He said, throw me off the ship. In other words, let me go. If y'all want to live, if y'all want to make it, remove me from your equation. We can't get mad when God removes people out of our lives. Sometimes, no matter how hard they work to help you, it doesn't work because they wasn't meant to go on that journey with you. And so many times we try to fight to keep certain people with us that we don't understand they was only designed to be with us to a certain point. It don't mean God won't bring them back in our lives later on. It simply means this part of the journey, God ain't willing to give them any credit in it. Took up Jonah and cast him forth unto the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. You ever been part of something, and as soon as you got from around that group, seemed like peace came out of nowhere? And maybe God was telling you something about the group you was in. A lot of times we miss the clues that God has given us. We say, well, I ain't hear from the Lord. Well, the Lord is speaking. We just not listening to his speech pattern. We want God to speak like lightning from heaven. No. God don't have to talk to us that way. Now, thanks be to Christ that we have the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, resting within us, and he bears witness of the voice of God in our lives. So even if someone comes and prophesies to you or speak a word to you about something you are to do and accomplish, the Holy Spirit within you supposed to agree or disagree with the said word proposed for your life. Why? Because God worked indecently and in order. And if God said it, he verifies what he says. And that's the purpose of the comforter. Jesus said, for them, he said, and the comforter shall come upon you, and he will teach you and lead you into all truth. Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. There you go, Missionary Ken. He prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and 3 nights. Have you ever wondered why it seems like you're going through hell, but you ain't been consumed by it? Now, even though certain things sit in our digestive system tract, our intestines, a period of time, no food can survive in our stomach without being dissolved. It was in a period of time, and none of it takes 3 days. So here it is, Jonah is in the belly of a fish, and the digestive system that the fish has to dissolve what he has ate have a cutoff switch by the Lord. And said, I want you to eat him, but this is just to save him. Because otherwise he could not have stayed afloat in the middle of the sea indefinitely. And he was too far away from land to make it, period. 3 days, 3 nights. Sometimes that can equate to 3 years, 3 months. Or simply just a season. So there was a season for Jonah. I want to look at this. Ecclesiastes 3:5. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season. And a seed and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which was planted. See, no, Jonah didn't realize. But even his disobedience happened within a season. And that season was the season of grace that God extended for his life. Sometimes our disobedience, God sends us grace, what we don't deserve, because we're in disobedience. God sends us grace to keep us alive. And we'll go back to Jonah when we read that. We'll see that Jonah later on prayed. Go over chapter 2. We'll see that Jonah prayed. Verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. See, this is how we know when grace is extended. He's going through now, but he's going through not because the enemy is coming against him. And a lot of times we want to blame the devil for the interference in our lives. And the truth of the matter is we have been disobedient, and some of the trouble in our lives is because we ran away from our destiny. So now he's crying by reason of his affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. And so Chronicles comes in where he says, if my people, conditional, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. It doesn't matter why. That what matters is that you allow humility to come in, and now you're petitioning God. You're seeking God way out. So, and he heard me out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compasseth about me. All thy bowels and thy ways passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. I will look again towards the holy temple. I can't get to church, but I can look towards church. I can look towards the house of prayer. I may be afflicted. I can't get out of this bed. But I'm going to look towards the hill which cometh forth my help. For my help comes from the Lord. We come down to verse 9. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Your voice of thanksgiving in the midst of trial. I don't feel like telling God thank you. My family done died. I don't feel like telling God thank you. My business died. I don't feel like telling God thank you. My marriage done broke up. I don't feel like telling God thank you. I got fired off my job. I don't feel like telling God thank you. But he said, but I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. In all things give thanks unto the Lord. And so in the midst of the hell that's going on in your life, that's the time to give God a sacrificial offering of thanksgiving. Because now you have to muster that thing up from the belly of your soul. Because how can we say thank you, Lord, when I'm hurting? How can I say thank you, Lord, when affliction and sickness in my body? How can I say thank you, Lord, when depression has me? How can I say thank you? You have to sacrifice the praise. You sacrifice it. Sacrifice. It's not cheap. A sacrifice, a true sacrifice, is not something that you got the asperity of. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Back up, preacher. Don't skip that verse. I will pay. I have vowed. God heard us when we said, if you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. We put on our Ron Canole, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hand and my feet. When we begin to sing these songs of praise and we commit ourselves unto the Lord, but then when God say do, we don't want to do because it exposes us. It calls time from us. It positions us in what may be uncomfortable. But we forgot that we made a vow. What is a vow? Something that you open up your mouth and commit to. And we made a vow with God in our heart to obey him. We made a vow with God in our heart to follow truth. Woo, my time is ticking, I tell you. I'm just getting good, just getting good. Run from your destiny. Don't run from your destiny. It was in the midst of hell. Jonah described being in the belly of the fish. Hell. A hard time in life. Where you're not going to, where you don't know whether you're going to live or die. Hell. A time in your life where you don't know whether, how you're going to pay what you owe. You don't know how you're going to make it to tomorrow. But he gave a sacrifice of praise, which is thanksgiving, and he did it with his mouth. Somebody need to open up your mouth right now and just tell God, thank you. Thank you that your name made the woke list. Thank you that you ain't worse off than you could have been. Thank you that you have a reasonable portion of health, even though you ain't taking care of your body like you should. Thank you that he has not abandoned you. Thanking him that he has redeemed you. Thanking him that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thanking him. For the portion of food that you do have in the cabinet. Thanking him for your bicycle. Even though your car broke down. Thanking him that your job ain't too far away that you can walk to work. Thanking him that you're on the bus line that you can catch the bus to work. Thanking him that you have work. We cannot run from our destiny. Salvation is the Lord. That's a statement of confession. Salvation, what God will save us from. Sometimes God needs to save us from ourselves. Sometimes God really need to deliver us because we are our own worst enemy. My enemy is not just the devil, but my enemy is the enemy. The apostle said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, when I would do good," he said, that I would do, I don't do, and that I do not want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall free me from this? He said, but then I found working in me, in my members, two laws, one of nature and one that loves God. And what we have to realize, yes, we love God, but there's a nature in our flesh, because the flesh still wants independency, which is apart from God. And I know, especially us in America, we think independency sounds like a good thing. That's what we have, Independence Day. But independency comes with a price. And the fall of man was just that very act. Independency. We have no independency from God that leads to victory over all things. It is through Christ I can do all things, because Christ strengthens me. It is my independency caused me not to hear or to disobey the rule of God, the law of God. Although my mind knows the law of God, yet my flesh works against the very law of God, because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So David said, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. He went on to say in another verse, he says, thy law had I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that's what we have to understand. We have to hold on to the word of God. Jesus told Satan, man shall not live by bread, sustenance alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So substance means nothing without the sustainer. So we cannot run from destiny. And I close on this. I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord, Jeremiah. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a expected end. We know that says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. when we repent, God know how to remove us from destruction to safety. God know how to get us from drowning to dry land. He knows how to remove us from the gates of death and put us in the land of the living, where we should live to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. I want to say thank you. The mics are still open. All of you that are still here with me, amen. We have some that dropped off, but some of y'all are still with me. Amen. I pray. Amen. I pray that those of you that are still with me, if you have a comment, you have something you like to say, come on with it. Amen. Any comments, any feedbacks?
One moment.
All right.
All right. Couple points that I wanted to, that are kind of like what you would call your plug-ins from your message.
Yes, sir. Come on.
One. First in, when you were talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14, Jonah experienced both sides of the coin. The
yes,
first
sir.
Side he experienced was the, if my people shall not humble themselves, shall not pray, shall not seek my face, and shall not turn from their wicked ways, then will I not hear from heaven and will not heal their land. But when he got himself right, he experienced the other side of the coin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land.
Amen.
And then the second thing I was going to mention is you were talking about the word of independence. I like the definition that my old orientation mobility teacher taught me, which orientation mobility teacher is a person who teaches blind people how to get from point A to point B.
Okay. Come on.
Now, he said independence does not mean doing everything yourself. It means not the right, but the ability to make choices.
Mm.
Because, for example, the United States being an independent nation, they still exercise the ability to make the choice to buy oil from another country.
Wow.
Well,
okay.
Being an independent traveler, yes, I may be able to go to the store and buy a jar of peanut butter, but that doesn't undermine my independence and ability to make the choice to ask somebody else to go to the store and buy that jar of peanut butter.
Okay.
I may choose to walk. I may choose to go on a bus to that store. I may choose to get a taxi cab, whatever. But those are my choices, and I can make them. And I can, as I said, I can make the choices. I have the ability to make those choices. But once again, they're not a right, but they're that I have. Amen.
I like that. I see the point. I see the point. I think, preacher, I really want you to kind of elaborate on that a little bit, because you're making a point of all things are lawful but not expediently, which is the difference between having the right to do something and doing something. So if you want to elaborate a little bit more, you're more than welcome. I like where you're going with that, because that is so important. That's so very important, because we know the true teachings of the Bible, God wanted man to be self-governing, but not separate from him. And,
that's everything I had to say.
Okay. Man, that's I'm telling you, Missionary Ken, that's what I call hitting the nail right on the head. That went down flush. That nail didn't go crooked. That nail went straight down. I enjoyed that because it is so important for us to understand our independency in perspective. And that's what I started out in the beginning with, the perspective. A lot of times we see things, but what we're looking through may be glasses that are dim. They need to be washed versus us sitting around for my song, you ain't doing this right, you're not doing that right. And the truth of the matter is, what we are seeing is not right. It's not right, but the scope in which we're looking through isn't right. And so it's so important for us always to come back. That's why we should always come back to the Word of God. And what's beauty about the Word of God is, as Malachi told us, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means God is not changing. He's not. So what God didn't like then, he still don't like now. And nobody, no matter how they word it, can make what God has said he hates. You can't make God like it. You can't make God accept what you are accepting. It doesn't change that he still loves you. I love my children. If they burn the house down, I'm still going to love them. If they wreck the car, I'm still going to love them. I'm not going to love what they did. I'm not going to approve what they did, but I'm still going to love them. And that's the difference that we must understand. God loved Jonah, but he didn't approve of Jonah going the other way. And what we have to realize, as any good parent that would discipline their children, God sent forth the right discipline in Jonah's area. Amen. And it positioned Jonah in a place where he could do nothing but realize the error of his ways, ask God for forgiveness, and sought God for resolution. And so sometimes people going to jail, we don't want folk going to jail. We don't agree with all the things that goes along in jail. But sometimes, for some people, their time out was them going to jail. That was saved their life, because what they were doing prior to, they were going to lose their lives. You know, and so sometimes the timeouts in our lives designed to get our attention, to get us back in oneness with God, that we may fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. That's so good. Ms. Nacky, I thank you for those bullet points. Those was mighty to me. They were mighty to me, I tell you. I'm definitely going to pass them on. Amen. And I hope those of our listeners tonight will pass on what they have heard, and to those that would listen to that are listening to the broadcast on demand. I hope that this is blessing you right where you are. And so I hope and pray that you will get all that you need from this message. If you have the iHeart app, please just replay the program. Use it to build a study guide so that you can have life application to this life application with this scripture given tonight. And basically, we looked at all of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. Jonah is not a long book. You can read all 4 chapters and get all that you have from them. Amen. Because that was the first phase that God showed us concerning Jonah. But Jonah's lesson still continues. I only stopped here because this is the point that deals with him running from and the next part of his life is him walking into destiny but still learning how to give God control of destiny and so on. So I want to say thank you to everyone. Those of you that are listening today, perhaps God has touched your heart and you want to support the Six Eyes Radio Network. As Missionary Ken often says, radio may be free to you, but it costs us. And so we will ask that as many as would partner with us, and God has touched your heart to help support this radio programming. And we encourage you to do it one of two ways. We have more, but one of two ways on tonight, those of you that will sow a love gift. Something as simple as $10, it goes a long way in helping support radio ministry. You have two options that we would like to offer you to offer us support, and that is one of Cash App and the other of PayPal. Amen. If you have Cash App and you want to render support to the program, that Cash App is $ Let me pull it up, make sure I get it right. Amen. That Cash App is $6Eyes24. That is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. That's Cash App, 6Eyes24. And if you're using the platform of PayPal, you want to type in the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And once again, whatever your contribution amount, be it small or great, it will be greatly appreciated. And we thank you, and to all of those who have supported in the past, we want to say thank you for your love gift. And we want to say to all of you that's tuning in tomorrow on Valentine's Day to hear the word from the word of the King with Tim Gruber, we want to say to you happy early Valentine's Day. We pray that you're loving those that are close to you in your life and that you are demonstrating that love them, however you demonstrate it, and let them know Valentine's Day is not just a day for the women, but it's a day for all of us to express love one to another. Hey, Ken, I want to say to you and Lady Ruth Wolfgang from the Bonnets, we love you, and God bless you and God keep you. Princess Nikhil and Sister Nicole from the Bonnets family, we love you. God bless you and God keep you. And to all Six Eyes, Emily, Lila, the rest of the game, God bless each of you from the Bonnet family. We love you all with the love of Christ. Thank you. And thank you for your love. God bless you and God keep all of you. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forevermore. Until next time when we come together and to meet again, in Jesus' name, may he keep you as you travel. May he cover you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Allow no evil to fall upon you. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen and amen. Once again,
amen.
I want to say thank you for joining us here on Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you, Missionary Ken. I love you, man.
Hey, just want to let the listeners also know they could get their Valentine from Jesus if they have not yet. Remember, God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, through him, the world might be saved. Amen.
Amen. And that's all I can say on that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Love you, sir. Y'all, God bless.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.
All right, Princess.
Have a good night. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Love's Day.
All right.
All right.